Thank you so much. I want to seize this opportunity to welcome you again and say good afternoon. As required, there is no direct financial relationship for me to disclose. However, it is worth mentioning that the data for this study was derived from a NIH grant-funded project, Cancer Risk in Workers Exposed to Oncogenic Virus. This study was done by Dr. Eric Johnson. I'm here to compare control sampling schemes using empirical data, real data, not the simulated data. And that is the big focus here. The background is this. There was a very complex causal web for cancer mortality, cancer incidence, and this has not yet been disentangled. A lot of research effort has been directed on this, trying to see what is happening. And a lot of the effort has been in the past on chemical agents in food, and we started focusing on biological agents. So we started looking at these biological agents. One of the big groups we're looking at, what are some biological agents present in the food, animal product that we eat? For example, we eat cattle, we eat pigs, poultry things. And we think that there may be some biological agents in these things, like viruses, like prions, bacteria, that may be responsible in causing cancers. We really think that these have caused cancers within these animals themselves. And so if people are exposed to these animals, maybe potential risks for the cancers. And this study has been going on for a while. This is a project, a huge project by Dr. Eric Johnson, and we've published quite well in those 3 years. But recently, my concern was, why is it that some of the outcome exposure relationship that were identified in one study could not be identified in future studies? Especially in large case cohort studies, we're able to identify some relationship, but we've narrowed them down into some case control studies and go into detailed analysis. You can't find them. So my whole goal was, is it possible that research methods or analytical approaches may be the problem? So this study that I'm presenting here, there are actually two arms. I'm presenting one in this session and another one in the biostatistics session tomorrow. This is what has happened in this study, and this is a common thing. When we do studies, first of all, if you're concerned about some exposure outcome relationship, you may start with a very large population, pull on data in cohort studies. And if you identify a few causes, you may now narrow those causes because of resources to actually go into detailed investigation. And when you start doing that, case control study will be the best. And that is what we did with this. And the research question, but the problem is that, I just announced that before again, is could the application of different schemes for selecting controls be a contributing factor to the observed discrepancies in epidemiological findings regarding cancer incidence and mortality from nested case control studies? Because after observing all these outcomes in big studies, we have to come into nested case control study, look at cases and pull specific controls, and there are various schemes of selecting controls. And this is the goal. The goal or the objective was for us to compare the effect measures following different schemes. And those schemes, I'll put them out in a few in the next slide. And we're controlling those schemes for, we started out looking at two specific cancer types, lung cancer and multiple myeloma. There were reasons for that choice. And in this presentation, I'm going to just present for lung cancer because of the time. And this is the model that we used there, or this is the conceptual model. The cohort study was done. It was a retrospective cohort. We identified lung cancer and multiple myeloma as being of high risk within the population we're studying. And then we decided to go into nested case control, sampling from cumulative survivor sampling, cumulative incidence, case cohort sampling, and incident density sampling. With the first three, we analyzed the data using regular logistic regression model. And for obvious reasons, in the incident density case, we use conditional logistic. And the effect measures that we compare were simply odds ratios, and we look at the confidence intervals too. The design, as I said earlier, again, is a big project of two phases. we call it cancer risks among workers exposed to oncogenic viruses. And this particular phase presented is simply from the nested case control phase. And we have different cohorts, and the cohort we are using here is for the union pension fund cohort of worker United Food and Commercial Workers Union. And that cohort consisted of 30,488 persons. And among these, over 20,000 were people working with poultry products. And 10,000, a little bit above 10,000, were not working with poultry products. I wanted to compare effect measures, comparing those who were exposed to poultry products to those not exposed to poultry products. And the follow-up was unique in a sense. It was done from January 1, 1972, right down to December 31, 2003. Various means were used for this cohort. We used the National Debt Index, the Social Security Administration, any other means, including motor vehicles, post office, to be able to ascertain that the vital status of members of that union. The outcome of this analysis was there were two outcomes, lung cancer mortality and multiple myeloma, but I've left out the multiple myeloma for this presentation. I may explain the reason during limitations. But for lung cancer mortality, they were determined using ICD code ICD-162 that will refer to cancer of the trachea, bronchus, and lung. And we had of different ICDs, but we did the ICD conversion. That was the main exposure here, mortality from that disease. Then the main explanatory variable was exposure to either poultry products or non-poultry products. And potential covariates, which were potential confounders, they are correlates here. We look at the effects of age, race, sex, and time to follow up, or time to event, or time to follow up. Data management was done using SARS 1.2 and 9.1.2, and the main thing was to be able to do matching, whether the people who got from these various sources were actually who they are. We have to match with your names, first name, last name, social security number, date of birth, date of death, and so forth. And then we confirm the cases, we have to update the entire cohort for vital status and causes of death and the rest of the information. And ICD codes that we got were provided for version ICD-8, ICD-10, but they were all converted to ICD-9. So we have to actually come out with a rubric. It was very extensive and time-consuming, but we did that. And the rest of the information that follows there, obvious. Let me talk a little bit about the sampling schemes, how we got the analytical cohorts for these schemes. First of all, we did a power and sensitivity analysis to be able to determine the sample size that were needed for the nested case control study. There was 378 lung cancer deaths in this entire cohort. And from the sensitivity analysis, we found that for optimal performance in a case control study, we'll need a 1 case to 4 controls to be able to have enough power for the study. That will result to about 15,1200 controls for all 378 cases. And we've used the full dynamic cohort for sampling. So in the cumulative survival scheme, we started this way. All lung cancer cases were selected a priori, and a simple random sample of the controls of the 15-12 controls were selected from those who were alive at the end of the study follow-up date in December 1, 2003. So we selected them regardless of whether they died of other causes or not. So we look at those strictly that were alive and selected those. Then for the cumulative incidence sampling scheme, the controls were selected from the remainder of the cohort regardless of their vital status. So the difference between the first cumulative survival sample and cumulative incidence is the fact that we selected control regardless of whether you died of other causes or not for the cumulative incidence sampling. But for the cumulative survival sampling, we selected control only for those who did not die of this cause, this specific cause that we are interested in. For the case cohort or case-based sampling, The 15-12 controls were selected prior to the start of the follow-up, constituting a sub-cohort, and then 13 became failures, so they died of this particular case. And then the remainder, if you take 13 out of the 378 that we needed, were 365, we had to add those remaining cases. And we did a concurrent or incident density sampling. Cases were individually matched. So this is a case control study. We matched the cases to the controls. Each time a case occurred, we have to match a control. We use age within five intervals before that date of birth with you, or 5 intervals after. So we have that window of about 10 years period. And then we match by race and sex also. 3 controls were selected randomly for each case in this case, because not every case was able to have a control, enough controls to have up to 4. If we have to stick on to 4, then there was going to be a lot of discrepancies. So we brought it down a little bit to 3. Okay, the data, as I mentioned in the scheme, analysis was done using SARS, and all those controls were selected using the self-designed micros. I wrote that micros that were able to select these controls. And we used SARS prog logistic for the first 3 methods, and the conditional logistic regression using SARS prog FREG. And there we modeled, in that last case, we modeled the probability of being a case rather than just being a case or not. This is the result we found here. If you look at, first of all, the analytical data set there, for the first 2 cases, we have up to 18,900, that was as required. For case-based, we were not able to have up to 18,900, and the worst was for incident density, we had far less, we had 870. But the outcomes from the first 3 were fairly close. First 2 were almost exact. The third one was fairly close. But the last, incident density sampling or concurrent, the outcome was a little bit off. And then was, if we used normal regular logistic regression during the analysis, the outcome was even way different from the rest of them. The emphasis here was not so much on whether you were at risk of poultry or non-poultry for this particular analysis. That was not the emphasis, but whether the various ways of selecting controls will come up with the same ultimate result. That was the focus for this particular presentation. And we found that cumulative survivor sampling, cumulative incidence, and case-based sampling techniques were similar, maybe probably because of the low prevalence, 1.2, and I'll talk about that limitation if I have time. But and this result was consistent with what we've seen from other papers, like a paper published in 1995 by Morabian and colleagues. However, the incident density sampling scheme led to markedly different results, both in magnitude and statistical significance. They showed significantly decreased risks in having a lung cancer mortality from the those exposed to poultry compared to those exposed to non-poultry. Maybe at this point, since the same conclusion will be given there, at this point, maybe I need to emphasize 2 things that were important here. First, the assumption is that if the outcome of interest is rare, underlying assumptions from these 4 schemes do not really matter. But if the outcome of interest is not rare, then it may be a problem if you don't look at those strictly. We expect that the exposure and the incidence should be stable over time. Okay, in this study, one thing we did was we assumed when the follow-up were done, we assumed that those whose follow-up were not certain, we assumed that we are alive. That might have led to reduce the prevalence of the disease, lung cancer, because the prevalence here was 1.2. Because of that, we didn't bother about those assumptions. Okay, the exposure assumption was fairly okay because everybody was either exposed to one thing or the other. You're either exposed to poultry products, slaughtering and all the like, or you're not. So that was stable throughout. But however, the incidence was not stable. Especially, we discovered that time to follow up and exposure time were overlapped. So those who stayed longer in the study were those who were older, and potentially that might have been a problem. But nonetheless, the conclusion is that those first 3 sampling schemes will lead to almost the same results, but the incident density sampling scheme will require probably further analytical approach. And the proposal here is for us to extend the analysis to compare various analytical approaches, particularly the regression-based methods, to be able to ascertain that conclusion. And thank you so much. I recognize the other members of this team as shown on the slides, and I'll wait to answer your questions.